listening to a Sword of the Lord audio production. Dr. Curtis Hudson is the former pastor of the Forest Hills Baptist Church in Decatur, Georgia. He was also the second editor of the Sword of the Lord. Dr. Hudson went home to heaven in 1995. The message you are about to hear is entitled Binding of Satan and First Resurrection. This is a radio message by Dr. Hudson. Although we do not have a specific date for the message, we believe it was given in the early part of the 60s. And now, here's Dr. Curtis Hudson.
Today's message is the seventh in a series on coming events. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bible to Revelation chapter 20, begin reading with verse 1. While you're turning, let me discuss with you briefly some of the events that we have spoken on in the last 6 weeks on this broadcast. So far, we've spoken on the rapture of the church, or the catching away of the saints of God. Then we spoke on the tribulation period. And then we spoke on the judgment seat of Christ, a believer's judgment, where every born-again, blood-washed believer is going to be judged and rewarded according as his work shall be. Then we spoke on the marriage of the Lamb. And after this, we spoke on the second coming of Christ. And before I begin the message today, there's one thing I'd like for you to understand about the second coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This coming is to be in two phases. He first comes back for his saints, and then he comes back with his saints. When Jesus Christ comes back for his saints, he does not come to this earth. This coming is described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where Jesus comes in the air, and the saints of God are caught up to meet him in the air after the dead in Christ have been raised. But in Revelation chapter 19, and begin with verse 11, his second coming back to this earth is described. This is when Christ comes back to this earth, and the armies of heaven follow with him upon white horses. Enoch prophesied this coming. In Jude verse 14, the word of God said, "And Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." Now then, you have the catching away of the saints of God when Jesus comes in the air. While the saints are in heaven, they face the judgment seat of Christ. They're judged and rewarded according to the works. Then they're married to the Lamb. This space of time is approximately 7 years, corresponding to Daniel's 70th week, as found in the book of Daniel. While the saints are being judged and rewarded, and while they're being married to the Lamb, this earth is going through the awfulest time that it's ever known. Jesus described it as a time of tribulation such as never has been since there was a world even under this time. But thank God the saints of God will not be here. They'll be absent at this time. But when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, there's two things that he's going to do as described in Revelation 19:11. He doth judge and make war, according to Revelation 19:11. He makes war. This is the battle of Armageddon, when all the allied armies of Antichrist will battle the armies of Christ and be slain, the number of whom is going to be so great that Christ summons the birds and fowls of the heavens together unto a great supper, that they may eat the flesh of kings and of mighty men, according to Revelation 19:18, and of bond men and of free men, both small and great. Now, they'll actually pick the flesh off the bones of those that will be slain at this battle of Armageddon. And then Christ gathers together before him all nations and judges them. This is found in Matthew chapter 25, and it's known as the judgment of the nations. After this, we'll get now to Revelation chapter 20 for today's message, and let's read together. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan." Now, there's no doubt as to who we're speaking of in this second verse, because he labels him by four names: the dragon, the old serpent, the devil, and Satan. This is none other than the devil himself. And thank God one day Satan is going to be bound for the space of 1,000 years. Hallelujah. Then the saints of God will have the greatest peace they've ever known. When Jesus Christ sets up his kingdom in this earth, and we reign with him 1,000 years. Hallelujah. Notice verse 3. "And it said, they cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season." And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them was, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Notice, my friend, in these 6 verses, there's 2 things that have happened. First of all, the angel comes down from heaven. He lays hold on the devil and bans him 1,000 years. Certainly, this does not need an explanation. It means exactly what it said. Satan is going to be bound in the future for 1,000 years. Now, after this banning of Satan, then the writer says, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now let's consider today the first resurrection. Satan is bound, and then the first resurrection. Now I know there are many that says there's going to be one great big general resurrection, but this is completely erroneous to the word of God. Jesus nowhere teaches a general resurrection in the scriptures. As a matter of fact, he speaks here of the first resurrection. Now, let me ask you this. Just use your common sense, if you will, please. If there's not going to be but one resurrection, why would Jesus be so illiterate as to say this is the first resurrection? There's no need to call a resurrection the first one if there's not going to be a second one. Notice then, first of all, that these that have part in the first resurrection, on these, my friend, the second death hath no power. Hallelujah. Now, if there's not but one resurrection, it will have to be the first resurrection. And that being so, Jesus said, those that have part in it, on such a second death shall have no power. If there's not but one big general resurrection, then, my friend, every person is going to be saved. That's right, according to the scriptures. But thank God there's more than one resurrection. There's a first resurrection and there's a second resurrection. Hallelujah. Notice a first resurrection. Notice some scriptures that prove the first resurrection, if you will. Look in Acts chapter 24, verse 15. Paul spoke of more than one resurrection. Paul said in Acts 24, 15, there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. Look at Luke chapter 14 and in verse 4. Or verse 14. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Here the resurrection of the unjust is not mentioned. It's just the resurrection of the just. Now look at John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Here John, or Jesus, tells of 2 resurrections in John 5, 28 and 29. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There's no dodging it, my friends. There's going to be more than one resurrection. The saints are going to be resurrected. And in 1,000 years later, the wicked are going to be resurrected. Notice again Revelation chapter 20, verse 5. But he said, these lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. Now the word of God means what it says. And I'll tell you, I'm going to believe the word of God. Jesus said in Hebrews 6:18 that it's impossible for God to lie. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do exactly what he said in Romans chapter 3, verse 4. I'm going to let you be a liar and let God be the truth. God said in His Word that the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. My friend, the fact is the righteous dead are resurrected and reign with Christ 1,000 years, but the wicked dead does not live until after this 1,000 years is finished. Hallelujah. Now this first resurrection is going to be in 3 different phases. Notice, stay with me now. It's going to be in 3 different phases. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, semicolon. Afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father. Notice now, he says here in 1 Corinthians 15, 22, in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. This has nothing to do with salvation. This has to do with exactly what it says, being made alive. Hallelujah. It says here that all shall be made alive in Christ. This means exactly what it said. Every person, whether they're saved or lost, is going to be made alive. They're going to be resurrected from the dead. Even the lost are going to be resurrected. However, the wicked resurrection will be 1,000 years later than the righteous resurrection. But notice here, it said every man in his own order. Now the word order in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 15, where it said, but every man in his own order, then it gives the orders, Christ the first fruits, afterwards say to the Christ that is coming, then cometh in when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. Now the word order here, where it says every man in his own order, in the Greek is tagma, which means series or succession, troop or company. Notice that, series or succession, troop or company. Every man is going to be raised, but everyone is going to be raised in his own order or in his own troop or company. Then it gives you companies. Christ, the first fruits. If you remember when Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, according to Matthew chapter 27, and in verse 52, it said, the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. My friend, Jesus Christ became the first fruits of those that slept. Notice 1 Corinthians 15, 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. Hallelujah. And many saints went into the city with him when he arose in that day, according to Matthew 27, 51, 52, and 53. So Christ was the first order of this company. This order has already gone on to be in heaven. But notice, the next order he said, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Now this order is described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when Paul said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Notice now, this, my friend, is nothing but born-again believers that's resurrected and translated in this scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Notice what he said. He says the dead in Christ shall rise. Not the wicked dead, but the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then notice what else he says. Then he says, then we which are alive and remain. And the word we here refers to every blood-washed, born-again child of God. Now this is not my interpretation of it. The scriptures mean this. Notice who this epistle of Thessalonians was written to in the first verse of the first chapter. It's written under the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's no doubt but what this was believers. He says who it's written to. Notice the 13th verse of the 4th chapter when he said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. He spoke of those that had no hope and told these believers not to sorrow as others that had no hope. This was spoken to born again, blood washed children of God, and he said, we shall be caught up to meet them in the air. Hallelujah. Now to prove that this does not have anything to do with the wicked dead, it goes on to say, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. If the wicked are raised here, they'll ever be with the Lord. This, my friend, has to be born again, blood washed with you. And this is the second company. Christ, the first fruits, has already gone with a band of believers. Then, when he comes back, or when he appears at the rapture of the church, the second company is going in. Then notice briefly, and I don't have time to finish this message, but I want to give you the last point. There's a last order in the first resurrection. Look at Revelation chapter 20. When he said, I saw them, the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This, my friend, means exactly what it said. They lived, L-I-V-E-D. Paul said, in Christ shall all be made alive. That's what happened to these people. They were made alive. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, these were people that came through the tribulation period and actually were martyred, slain, for the word of God and for the testimony which they held in the tribulation period, according to verse 4 of Revelation chapter 20. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But you say, Curtis, how were they saved during the tribulation? Well, notice, Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, they are saved not by grace through faith, but in Matthew 24:13 it said, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Folks that go through the tribulation will have to be saved by enduring unto the end. And after Jesus Christ had resurrected the last saint of God, here after the tribulation period, after he called the last saint of God, then he says, this is the first resurrection. He could not say this is the first resurrection when he ascended into heaven, because all the saints had not been raised. Even after the rapture of the church, you notice, he didn't say this is the first resurrection, because there were still yet saints to be raised. But after the tribulation period, after the last born-again, blood-washed child of God had been resurrected from the dead, then Jesus said, this is the first resurrection. Are you ready for this resurrection? If not, would you bow your head and accept the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, now?
We pray you have been blessed by the message you've just heard. The Sword of the Lord has many helpful materials available for purchase. For a free catalog, please call 1-800-251-4100. Or you may reach us on the web at swordofthelord.com. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.